My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to preach on the beautiful name of Jesus. Welcome to CWH and this month's series of four sermons on the songs of Christmas. Today's message is titled The Song of Mary, where Mary makes known the greatness of God. We hope you will be uplifted by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is really a special day because it's the first Sunday in December, and we're coming up to Christmas. And I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. So we're going to have four sermons, four songs about Christmas. And we're just going to rejoice at the coming of the Savior. But before we have the message, I want to read some of the letters. I get so many different people write in and they say, oh, we just love the letters. We just please write and send and give us some letters. And so that's what I'm going to do. The first one comes from Weatherford, Texas. And this is a lady that writes, when you read the viewers' letters, some starving for Christ and some believing in Christ, it lets us, your TV and radio audience, know that there are many believers around America and the world. Your preaching and the letters are connecting Christians from different parts of the world. In these dark and evil times, we believers in Jesus need to know our small sections are not alone. Please continue to read those letters. We need and must support each other, a sister in Christ. And I never really appeared to me that way. But all over the world, we're all gathering together as one body in Christ, and we're coming to the feet of Jesus. And now here, with the letters, that helps to draw us together. Just a great letter. Here's Saskatchewan, Canada. This is from a young lady. After hitting rock bottom, I have become a born-again Christian after watching a taping of your show two Saturdays ago and after hearing that God can forgive all sins. It makes me feel like it is never too late to start serving God. Thank you for the information and for spreading the good word and the love of Christ. God bless you. Don't we rejoice? It is never too late. God will always give you another chance. It's never too late until you come to your grave. Once you die, it's too late. And then after death, the judgment. Nothing more can be said. But in this world, I don't care what your sins are, you can come to Jesus. Here is a letter from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Good old South Dakota. Oh, I like this. Listen to this. This is an elderly person. And she writes, I thank the Lord I have no aches and pains, but I do misplace things. And then listen to what she says. The Lord gives me exercise looking for things. Well, God bless you. That's making lemonade out of a lemon. She can't find some of her things. Instead of grumping, she thanks God she can exercise while looking for the things. Isn't that great? God bless you. That blesses me. Because, boy, I'm laying things all the time. Wait till you're 95. You'll lay things, you'll maybe never find them. One more, Council Bluffs, Iowa. This is from a young man. God bless you all for what you're doing to spread God's word all over the world. And listen to what he says. Thank you for telling me how to get Jesus to come to me. He is now in my life forever. God is smiling down on you all. Doesn't that just bless your heart? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you prayed for the Christian Worship Hour, if you send any gifts to the Christian Worship Hour, you had a part in bringing that man to Christ. And God's going to reward you for it because we can't do it alone. We have to have your prayers. We have to have your help. And when we come to the end of the service, we'll talk about how you can send a gift to help us in the work. And so we just thank you all for writing. We hope that you'll write. Get your pencil and paper out. Then I'll give you the address in just as we come to the end of the service. But we want to talk about today's sermon, and we're going to have four different songs of Christmas. We have four Sundays, going to be four songs. And the songs are the Song of Mary, and then next week, the Song of Zechariah, and then the next week, the Song of the Angels, and then the next week, the Song of Solomon, Christmas Day. And those four different songs. So today, the Song of Mary. The song of Mary comes out of the announcement by the angel Gabriel that Mary is going to give birth to the long-awaited Messiah. And the Annunciation is recorded by St. Luke as follows. And in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when he saw him, she was troubled. And she was troubled at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And listen to this, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no increase. That's the first chapter of St. Luke. That's a wonderful, tremendous announcement, and it says that the Messiah is coming. Israel had looked for the Messiah for generations. And now after all that time, here he was. His coming was at hand. The time is now. Jesus Christ, the Savior, is going to be born. Mary must have been filled with amazement and joy and questions. For one thing, how would she explain her pregnancy? She was physically pure. She had not known a man. She was a virgin, and yet she was pregnant. And how is she going to explain that? How on earth can she explain that to the old town gossips? Because you got them as long as you got buzzards, you got gossips. And they're looking for everything they can. They're always there. And she's going to be the subject of a lot of gossip, and the poor little girl knows it. And that's why it is so wicked to gossip, because the gossips never know the real score. They don't know the real situation. They never will. There are so many factors involved in life. Life is so complex, and you don't understand the plight of others, and you don't know what others are like. They say, walking in their moccasins. You don't walk there. You don't know. And some you don't even understand yourself. Half of us don't. How would we understand somebody else? In Mary's case, the gossip would call her unfaithful, and the gossip would be not more. And they couldn't be more wrong if they tried. And they're going to be way off base. That's why we must leave all judging to the Lord Jesus. Don't you judge anybody. You don't have a right to do that. In John chapter 5, verse 22, God tells us, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son. So leave your old picky hands off and close your mouth and bite your tongue. Mary is going to face some real testings. And so what is she going to do? So she leaves town. Maybe she left because of the gossipers. That was a part of it. But she wants to go to her cousin Elizabeth, because her cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. And she wants to tell the good news to her cousin, and they want to discuss their pregnancies. And so the Bible tells us. And by the way, if you have your Bibles there and you want to follow, just follow Luke chapter 1. We're going verse by verse here. And verse 39 and 40, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Mary hurriedly goes to visit Elizabeth, and so here she is. She went to her home, a city in the hill country. We don't know the name of the town, but it's of that area in Judea, around in Judea at that place. And so she goes from Nazareth to a place maybe it might have been up to, might have been 50, 60 miles away. And yet she wants to see Mary, and she's going to see her, and wants to see Elizabeth. And so Mary goes and they visit. And at the sound of Mary's voice, the unborn child moves in Elizabeth's womb. And the verb used is a verb leaped. And this signifies movement motivated by joy. The point of it is the superiority of Mary's child over Elizabeth's child. because Mary's going to have Jesus and Elizabeth's going to have John the Baptist. And Jesus becomes the first place, but this John the Baptist. And so she talks, and Mary talks to her, and Elizabeth says, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In other words, how could this happen to me? I am so unworthy of it, Elizabeth is saying. How could this happen? And it's also interesting to notice that the unborn John in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy because he was in the presence of Jesus and neither one had been born yet. That tells us when you abort a child, you kill somebody. And if you've had an abortion, I can tell you this, you go to Jesus, he'll forgive you. It's a terrible sin. Go to Jesus and ask him to forgive you, and he will. And you can put that behind you. And so then notice this too, when Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" It was at this point that Mary breaks out for the first time, and she sings this song called the Song of Mary, because Elizabeth's words confirmed the fact of Mary's physical purity, for one thing. And Elizabeth's words confirmed the fact that what the angel had said was true. Elizabeth is assuring Mary of all that is transpiring. Yes, it is true, Mary. You can't believe it, maybe, but you are going to have this child, the Messiah. And that beautiful song of Mary comes, and it's called the Magnificat. And the word means tell out the greatness of our Lord. And that's precisely what Mary did as she comes and sings, as she sings to the Lord Jesus and sings to the Heavenly Father. We will see in this some expressions that Mary has out of the Bible. She knew the scriptures, and so she quotes part of the Psalms in her song. She talks about Hannah and about and her little boy Samuel. And she breaks out in song. She's using the scriptures of the Old Testament because she was a woman, a special girl that loved God and loved his word and knew his word. And so she sets forth and she sings. And she sings about four things about God the Father. She sings about God's holiness. And then she sings about God's mercy. And then she sings about God's might. And then she sings about God's faithfulness. That's what we're going to look at. First of all, God's holiness. Luke 1, 46 to 48. "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowly estate of this handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She begins by saying, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in my Savior." Notice this, she talks about my soul and my spirit. They are not the same. They are two different Greek words. The word for soul in Greek is poshe, and the word for my spirit in Greek is pneuma. And so when she's talking, she is saying, "I'm giving my whole being, my spirit, my soul, my personality, everything rejoices in my God." What a beautiful lady she was, praising her God. So she gives thanks. Her soul magnifies the Lord. Her soul, spirit rejoices in God. She says that all generations shall call me blessed. She says that great things have been done for her. And I'm telling you, friend, that teaches us we too ought to have that spirit of thankfulness because we have that same God that Mary had. And he loves us as much as he loves Mary. And he will bless and help us. The great saints of all ages have been thankful people. And she celebrated on what God had done, not just for her, but in choosing her to be the Holy One and all of the others in the Jewish line. Mary goes back to Abraham, talks about Abraham, and she talks about that from generation to generation. And she sees God at work in all of the ages past and all the ages to come because she says, henceforth, that is, in the future, all generations shall call me blessed. But for all of that, Mary is a humble soul. Here she is, of all the women of Israel, for all the ages past. She alone has been chosen to bear the Messiah. Yet in spite of the tremendous honor that God has given her, what does she talk about? She says her low estate. And she talks about the Messiah as her Savior. She claims now no claims for herself, only that she worships and loves God with all her spirit and soul and heart. Oh, what a beautiful lady. So let's learn humility from Mary as we read this story. Let's think of ourselves. Don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Don't think that we're better than somebody else. Don't have a proud because you think you're so spiritual. An old divine once said, a man is just so much Christianity as he has humility. An old Bishop Ryle in London said this, all are not rich, all are not learned, all are not highly gifted, all are not preachers, but all children of God may be clothed with humility. Mary looks to God as her Savior. She knew that the Messiah to come, and she was going to save the people from their sins. She listened to the angels sing. In Luke chapter 2, the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Remember that prophecy? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? He shall save his people from their sins. Oh, my God. We all have those sins, tons of them, and Jesus came and he paid for those sins, my sins. Oh, God, thank you. And it's this wonderful Jesus. That's the story of Christmas. It's the coming of the Savior, and he's born of the Virgin. He grows to manhood so he can die on a wicked cross and shed his precious blood for my sins and your sins. Oh, what a message. Mary goes on to give the reason for rejoicing. She says in verses 48 and 49, for he hath looked down upon the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And so she sings about the holiness of God. Then Mary goes on, and she's singing about God's mercy. His mercy is on those who fear him, she says. Mary may have quoted Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 when God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And don't misinterpret the word fear. It doesn't mean that we're afraid of God. It means that we reverence God. We respect God. We don't take his name in vain, and we don't speak lightly and flippantly of him. We revere him, this wonderful God, but we are not afraid of him. I'm talking to Christians now. When you're a child of God, you're never a child of God, and you have Jesus, you have to have Jesus. I'm going to tell you just what exactly words to say in just a few minutes. And so she's talking, she says, she's not afraid of God. She respects him. She honors him. She loves him. And she tries in every way she can to please him. It means that we try to keep his word. We try to obey the Ten Commandments, the words of God that he's given us. And we read the scriptures and we try to honor him and serve him. And we'll never be perfect. But if we don't try, we're not honoring God. We all try. Perfection, we'll never be perfect, but we try for perfection. We try to be just like Jesus. And so when I need a hiding place, I go to the Father. She talks about him as this wonderful Father, this wonderful God. And the first thing I do, I am not afraid to go to God. He is my Father. He loves me. He will never leave me or forsake me. He's ever always there. He never slumbers or sleeps, but he's always there with his arms wide open like he was to the prodigal son. I can go to Jesus, and I love him, and when I sin, I go to Jesus, and I tell him about my sins, and you know what the Bible says? 1 John 1, verse 9, I've used it 1,000 times. When we sin, we drift away. We think of evil thought. We're envious, or we don't even think, and we get into the wrong crowd and do the wrong thing, and we go home with a broken heart and say, why did I do that? You turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once, twice, 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 times, never underestimate the grace of God, because though our sins, oh, the grace of God is greater than all of our sin. Oh, I love that Lord Jesus. I love to preach about him and tell about him and the Heavenly Father, and I hope he's your Father. But he isn't your Father unless you come to him and receive him as your Savior. So Mary gives thanks for God's mercy. And that's not all. Mary says, his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. In other words, this mercy is for Mary, but the mercy is for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And it is for us as long as we live until we die. And then the mercy's not there. If you don't get to right with God in this life, then after death, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. That is, God has a time for you to die, a time when you're going to go, a time when I'm going to go. I don't know when it is. I'm glad I don't know. But I'm over past 95, halfway to 96. I don't know, somewhere in there. I get so old I can't count anymore. But I know that he's there, and I know he has a time set, just a certain time. And when he comes, when I come to that time, I'll go. And if I know Jesus Christ, I'm safe at home. If I don't need to know Jesus Christ, I'm in the pit of hell. That's what Jesus tells us. I can't even wait any longer. I want to tell you what to do. You said, just come to Jesus. In your own words, just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. I sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and the Lord Jesus will forgive you. Then she sings about God's might. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And so he talks here of how great God is and how powerful God is. And yet he always cares for his own. He cares for his children. And then she closes talking about God's faithfulness. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped the servant Israel in mercy and his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. God will help us. He has helped Israel, and he will help us. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, he shall save his people from their sins. That's this wonderful Jesus. And so don't forget about Abraham. Because you know Abraham, all he did was believe God. It was God. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And in Romans, we're told not by work, and Ephesians, we're told not by works of righteousness, but by his mercy he saved us. And so Mary is telling us, you need to come to Jesus. You need to rest on Jesus. You need to find a rescue, a secure place in him. And so that's what we're doing in the Christian worship hour. We urge you, we beg you, call on the name of the Lord. Listen to John 5, verse 24. And here Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, I've preached it, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, you have to believe it, you have to receive it, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Right the minute you believe, you have eternal life. You don't wait to heaven to see if you're going to get there or not. You have it the minute you accept Jesus Christ. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. John 5, verse 24. It's my favorite verse. And so I'm praying today that you'll just pray that God will, that you'll open your heart to the Lord, and so that you can be like Mary and you can rejoice in God your Savior. But you can't rejoice in him if you don't know him. And so you make that prayer. Just use your own words. Don't get fancy. Just ask him into your heart. promise that you'll ask him to take away your sins, promise to serve him the best you can. And if you do that, you write to us. And we'll send you some literature, and I'm going to give you the address now. Get your pencil. Christian Worship Hour, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you send a, and you can write to us, and we'll send you literature. Or if you want to send a gift, because we have to have your help. God knows we don't have enough to pay this way. You have to have God's people, not underwritten by any church or denomination or corporation. We're underwritten by God's people, so you need to help us. You need to write to us, and you need to send us a gift. You don't know how we'll spend it. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they account, they audit our books, and they check us till it drives you crazy. But they watch us like a hawk, and everything is above board, not only what we get, but how we spend it. So you can send a gift, and we got it on the screen there. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, and 57402. Now I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the shut-ins. I want to pray for those who are having special trouble. And then we always pray for the persecuted church, and we're praying for those in Morocco. So let's just pray to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that many will turn to you, multitudes will turn to you right now and be born again, become children of God, can sing the song of Mary. And then we pray for our brothers and sisters in Morocco. And oh God, how they are suffering and some dying and some are destitute and driven from their homes and they're all, they don't know where they're going to go or what they're going to do. Just to God, we know you'll comfort them. And we just pray that we'll pray for them and that, and oh God, that we'll be willing to do the same thing, to die for you if you want us to do it. And then we pray for those on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and the young people that don't know which way to turn and others are having great troubles. You're that great Savior. So we pray that each one will put their faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now next week, we're going to talk about Zechariah. In the meantime, be sure to write to us. Got to have your help. Box 2, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write us a letter. We read every letter. Maybe we'll read some of yours, and it'll bless people. See, you'll be a preacher. You'll be on television. And that's wonderful, witnessing for the Savior. But whatever it is, all glory goes to God. We're in it for no other reason than to bring glory to the Savior. So God bless you. See you next week and enjoy Christmas season.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.